one of my kind.
It's 8464 CA in excess. What a great song. And of course, back to 1987 it was now. And I need you tonight. Well, look, interesting stories locally from people who reckon they actually heard part of that that eruption here in Cairns after the disaster. It's basically, it has turned into a disaster, certainly for the Tongan people across the weekend with the eruption of the volcano. Two people are dead, and Tonga's government is advising the public to remain indoors after the eruption of the Hunga Tonga Hunga Hapapai, I think that's right, volcano. And, of course, it's causing a lot of issues in that part of the world. Around about 2 centimetres of volcanic ash and dust has fallen, falling on crops, also contaminating both food sources and water sources. And, of course, in the next couple of weeks, with such a tropical area at this time of year, quite a risk of acid rain right throughout the region. Now, amazingly, even though the distance of more than 4,000 kilometres between Cairns or the Cairns region all the way to Tonga, there's a lot of people that actually reckon that they heard the blast. Joining me online this morning from Cape Tribulation, it's Lawrence Mason. Good morning, Lawrence. How are you this morning?
Morning, Murray. I'm good this morning. How are you?
Mate, not too bad at all. I ended up heading out to the reef on Sunday, and I was kind of keeping an eye out for waves. But, you know, I actually did some of the calculations, and with the eruption actually happening about 5:30 local time in Tonga on Saturday evening, which was the equivalent of about 2:30 p.m. local time here in Queensland, it would have taken about 3.5 hours. That's incredible, actually, for the sound wave to have travelled all the way across the Pacific and actually reach our shores. That means about 6 p.m. So whereabouts were you, 6 p.m. on Saturday evening? What were you doing and what did you hear?
I was just sitting at home having a beer, and I'd been for a walk on the beach with my dog.
Yeah.
We're both sitting on the chair together, actually. And I heard what I assumed was thunder. There was one, and then there was another one, and it was quite loud. So the second one, I got up and looked out the window, and there was no storm, and then there was another smaller noise. And I then went to, the Cairns radar and had a look, and there were some tiny storms, you know, way out past Palmer River. But,
yeah.
But wow, they must be really, really intense storms.
Mm.
And I didn't think any more about it until the next morning. Of course, I got up and it was all over the news. And it was about 11 o'clock the next day. I went, that was probably what I heard.
Well, it makes sense. As I said, I've been doing some rough calculations in my head, but about 3.5 hours actually for the shockwave to travel from Tonga to Australia. So if you work out the time differences in that 3.5 hours, 6 p.m. was about right as well. Now, what about the sunrise on Sunday morning? And of course, then probably more Monday that we got the volcanic ash. It's been just incredible the last couple of days.
Yeah, it was a really amazing sunrise. Because I take the dog for a little walk every morning at about 6 as well. And, it's quite incredible. And, I've since talked to other people, the fellow Steve Maloney, who runs Cape Troop Horse Rides, he heard it as well. Mm. And like me, assumed it was thunder. But the Blocky boys from Cape Troop Farm were out fishing and they thought someone was shooting at them because they said it like rolled past, you know, the noise.
Yeah, well, I mean, that makes sense when it's a sound wave like that. Obviously, it would be weakening, in intensity after travelling, nearly 4,500 kilometres. But still, it would pass through like that. But that's incredible. They thought that somebody unknown and unseen out there in water, shooting a shotgun at them, eh?
Yeah, something like that. That's what their mother said anyway. My brother-in-law lives down at near Tully at El Arish there.
Yeah.
And he was working in a shed and he said stuff actually rattled on the shelf.
Wow. Oh, I'm trying to rack my brain and work out where I was on Saturday evening. But, certainly at this time of the year when you get the thunderstorms rolling around, you often hear those crashes and those bangs and you think, there's just something happening with respect to a thunderstorm. But incredible stuff, incredible force of nature and, of course, all that volcanic ash up into the air. But I think one of the biggest concerns certainly for the Tongan people is some of the destruction that it's caused. But the acid rain and that volcanic ash. So I should imagine that not only they're just cut off from the rest of the world at the moment, they've got some really, really challenging times ahead. Well, Lawrence...
Well, they have. I mean, if you think about Krakatoa, they heard that in Mauritius.
Yeah.
And the Earth was significantly cooler for a couple of years after Krakatoa, so I don't know how this one compares in size. But it also could cool the winter down a bit. We might get some good lychees.
Well, and that's a good thing. And, of course, keep the reef cooler, which is certainly something the scientists have been talking about for the last 6 months or so, trying to have a cooler time. And it's an incredible story. And, to think that we've actually heard it here in this part of the world. Mate, it's always great to touch base with you. You're a world of information and always got the ear to the ground. And even when you're having a beer with a puppy dog in the afternoon, Lawrence, really, really appreciate your time this morning. Cheers.
Thanks, mate. See ya. Now.